You are listening to Tracks Cultures, where we talk about what it means to transition across cultures. Our show covers major themes that are important for cross-cultural travelers, for expats, and for their friends at home and abroad. In the work we do, we invest a lot of energy in finding the intersection of faith, art, and culture. This podcast especially looks at the culture and faith intersections viewed through the lens of transition from one culture to another. This is episode 3 of Tracks Cultures. I am your host, Mike Pecanato, and this is a legacy podcast from Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, and was originally released on June 16th, 2021. We are re-releasing the old episodes here to be sure people can find the whole series in one place. Enjoy the podcast. Today is part 3 of the series, Beginning with the Endings, and in this episode, I'll be leading Stephen and Jenny through one of the coaching exercises from Stephen's book.
I thought it might be interesting if I gave you guys a couple of minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, for you to write down some of the anticipated endings without consulting each other. And then maybe just to share what those endings from each of your perspectives might be. And so, yeah, maybe if you want to take a couple of minutes. And Stephen, in your book, you challenge people to write down 5. What do you think is a good number after you've already shared as many as you've shared?
What do you want to aim for?
I'm sure there are like thousands, so we could probably do 5 that we haven't named yet.
5 that we haven't named?
Yeah.
5 anticipated endings.
Yeah.
All
right.
In Stephen Jones' book, Transitions Across Cultures, he writes, before people embark on a transition, whether into a new culture or into the process of returning home, I challenge them to develop a list of at least 5 things that are ending in their lives as a result of the upcoming transition. This is quite different from Stephen Covey's principle that highly effective people begin with the end in mind. Whereas Covey's idea involves the creative imagining of what can be, I am advocating an honest reckoning of what will no longer be. As many people are more used to thinking in terms of adding to their lives than to taking things away, this exercise can be challenging for them.
I have my 5.
Good. All right. So in no particular order, maybe every other one. I mean, so like Jenny, you share one and then Stephen, you share one. What are one of the endings that you're anticipating?
So being accessible to my family. We're not close in distance now, but I think the capacity to call them whenever feels like that's an, like, yeah, and not have to think about, oh, what time is it there? Like, so yeah, I'll randomly call my sister, or she'll randomly call me, or yeah, or call my mom or whatever, and it's usually because something has triggered in my mind of wanting to tell them, or being like, oh, I have a few minutes, I'll call them before it gets busy. So it's just the ease of that, and just not knowing, being like, oh, are we gonna have to be scheduled? Probably. Or come into a pattern, or, you know, or just know that, oh, this is the time of day where I can do that. And, you know, I can't just call whenever, because I will either be asleep, or they will be asleep, or it'll be too early, or whatever. Yeah. So there's that.
I have a similar one, which is being able to drive to family and vice versa. I mean, my dad is only about 10 minutes away. And so we recently have been intersecting quite a lot during the week, which has been really nice. And then both for us to drive to Jenny's family, or for them to be able to drive here, which happens less often, especially recently, but just that it's a physical impossibility.
You old-time missionaries kind of look at us, and shake their heads a little and say, man, you guys have it so easy now, in that, you know, before when it was all letters or you couldn't afford to make a phone call, you were just out of touch. Yeah. For all intents and purposes, you heard about things well after they had already taken place by the time you got the letters. Mm-hmm. But I still think those are really real endings, that having to calculate how many hours difference is it between when I am and when they are.
So many times that you might have communicated with somebody and the communication never happens because of that, because you're thinking about it at a certain time of day, and then by the time it becomes the right time of day, you're not thinking about it anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even if you do record a voice message or send a message, you get the answer when you wake up the next morning. And it just makes communication really different. Those are challenging endings from a connection point of view. And traveling and visiting people, it's really different. Now, those are real.
So for me, something that's nice one of the nice things about us moving to where we did in Minnesota is that it's still very rural, and that is a part of who I am or who I have been. And so I think sort of the loss of knowing what that looks like there's still literally tractors that drive down the middle of town.
Yeah, there's
still they're still everywhere. There's still very much the sense of the farming, ranching, livestock community is still very accessible. So,
not as much as...
Well, not accessible in that I'm interacting with it, but I'm seeing it, and it's still familiar to me.
I mean, it smelled like manure here yesterday, so...
Right, and knowing that something is happening...
Should we put that in the house listing?
But it's like, something that's happening that has been a part of my life, or that's not... For me, that's not terrible. I'm like, well, that's part of where I live. And I'm okay with that. That is actually kind of pleasant, kind of. I don't, not pleasant like a rose, but pleasant in a memory sense. But yeah.
From a sense of familiarity. It's
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think in some ways this will be replaced, but there is a particular set of walks that we go on, Johnny and I, and it's already ended in the sense that the dog was part of it a lot of the time, but we've just had a really nice habit recently of going for walks by the river, or about a block away from the river, and seeing it through its different seasons. You know, the fall is amazing. Winter is so fun because at some point, usually it freezes hard enough that snowmobiles are running up and down the river, you know, and then seeing them melt off in the spring and then everything pop back to life. And then just the kind of lazy beauty of summer. It's like we know that space. And yeah, I've seen it through the different seasons now enough times that it's just very familiar. And that's a place where we walk. So, yeah.
Stephen alluded to this, so I don't think it's being repetitive because I didn't say it. Because it means something different to me than it does to him. But driving, I am not necessarily an adventurous driver. So usually my circle is very small, and that it's like as far as where I'm comfortable driving. And for here, like in Omaha, that was different. It's a bigger city. But again, it was still similar. I drove to places that were closer to our college, and then it expanded. Here, I drove to places that were closer to our community, and then it expands to, you know, I'm driving all over for, you know, Owen's baseball stuff or whatever, like places I would never go by myself. I am now going because I have a reason to. And thank you to Google for giving me directions instead of having to write them down on a piece of paper. But yeah, just feeling like, one, there isn't as much of a need because public transit, and yeah, just my comfort driving, it takes me a little bit more to get there. And I don't enjoy it, which I think Stephen would say he enjoys it, but I don't. I do it because I have to. So, yeah.
One thing that's ending, and it, I don't know, I feel weird because it already ended in some ways because of the pandemic, but we had gotten into a really nice pattern as a couple of doing, like, we'd go for a walk and then we'd have coffee and do a devotional together. And we'd sit in these two red chairs by our big window where we could look out, and the dog would sit with us. And it just, I don't know, I really liked that pattern a lot. And then when the pandemic happened and kids came home for school, like, that got interrupted. And I think now it's just the realization that it won't come back. Like, those red chairs are sitting in our garage now, getting ready to go next door for a yard sale. Yeah, and the dog's not here, and the... Yeah, so it's just like, oh, that pattern that I really liked will never be back in the same way. Yeah.
And kind of like the driving, even if you can't anticipate some level of transition, it's a little bit in that neutral zone right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where you're like, there might be another beginning, but I can't even see what that might be. I don't know where our walking will be. I don't know what our living room will look like. I don't know what chairs we'll have. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Jenny's going to let the pet iguana come up and snuggle between us.
Right. Oh, no. No. For me, another one is free good beef. So we get beef from my parents. And it's just really good. And so I think I can count on one hand how many times I've bought it in a store, and I always feel gross doing it. But it's just
and it
so
tastes
good.
Gross too.
Right. It's always like, well, guys, I'm sorry. It's just not as good. Sorry. It's this way. But yeah, the fact that we could grill T-bones yesterday, and it was so good.
So good.
And we had prime rib the day before.
We are working our way through the freezer, yeah. So that's part of it.
All the things that I've held off for special occasions, I'm like, no, we have to eat it right now, guys. I'm sorry. We're going to be eating beef for, like, the next, like, month. So, and that I don't think it probably, I mean, they could probably get it shipped, but there's probably lots of things in between that make that pretty impossible. But anyways.
I think another ending is just the season of preparing, which in some ways has been just the last year and a half, but also in kind of bigger ways, this is kind of what we had anticipated we would be doing. I mean, we didn't know what shape it would take, but, you know, gosh, 18 years ago or whatever it was when we met and then started trying to imagine life together, we thought that we might be living internationally doing ministry. And so it feels like, okay, like, in some ways, it feels like this whole time has been a season of preparation for what we're getting ready for. Yeah. And so then feeling like that's ending, which is exciting, and also feeling like, okay, how's this going to go? You know, but
see, that comes with a certain level of pressure too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like,
we've been preparing for this for a long time.
Some of it's false. So I have to acknowledge that, right? Like, because maybe that's just preparation for the next thing. Like, and the things we've been doing have been important for their own sake too. So, but yeah.
So for me, the last one, like, I was trying to think of things sort of very, like, different or very unique to me. And one of them is feeling like I can communicate competently with my eye doctor. Like, I have had special eye issues for, like, my whole life, and have learned to figure out how to navigate that, and, like, as a teenager and as an adult, and feeling like I understand how to do it and what's being spoken to me. And it's like, obviously there are people that do that. Obviously there are people that have that, yeah, like, it's not like it's special to the United States or whatever to have issues or whatever, but I think it's just like, oh, what is that going to look like? I have no idea. How am I going to communicate well? How am I going to describe it? Because it feels, yeah, I've surprised many, like, just doctors that have looked at me and have been like, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, I'm fine. I don't live with a constant concussion because one of my pupils is mostly dilated all the time. So people sort of get freaked out if they're in any kind of medical field when I interact with them. Like, no, it's okay. We're fine.
So maybe a little reassurance in that area. First of all, you'll go with us initially to the doctors, which is, you know, both relieving and frustrating at the same time, because it's nice to know that you'll be understood, but it's frustrating to not feel like you can maybe do that competently.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, is like, yeah, that competency of like, oh no, just doing it. And the fact that my eye doctor is literally a 2-minute walk from my house right now. So there is that.
The other nice thing here is, especially in specialized fields like that, most of the doctors will be able to speak some English. And German doctors tend to really appreciate their patients from the United States, because we use mostly Latin terms for our illnesses, whereas Germans use a lot of folksy terms. And so the German doctors always feel like they have to learn the medical terms for it and then what everybody calls it. And so when we come in, they're like, oh, good, finally, a language I understand. So that can be helpful.
I think the fifth one for me is actually an ending that happened more significantly than we realized when we moved here. And then now it's the completion of that ending in some ways. When we lived in Omaha, we lived in the inner city and loved it. I mean, that's where that was home for a number of years. And when we moved here, we thought we were going to live in the inner city in Minneapolis, and just discovered that the commute was too far, and then anything in between there and the college was way too expensive. And so we ended up in a small town. And that was really surprising. We really felt release from God to move out here, but it wasn't what we wanted. And I think a lot of that has to do with, we had been involved and had been starting to figure out how to get involved with issues of racial justice and reconciliation in Omaha and in the previous college that I was with. And then this season, it's like gone a totally different direction. And those issues, of course, have been really significant in Minneapolis in the last couple of years. The last year in particular. Yeah, so it's been very weird to kind of be on the outside looking out, like, because we're not, for the last year and a half, we've been sensing this move on away from that. It hasn't been like, oh, okay, well, we're about to re-engage that once I'm done with my doctoral studies or whatever. It's like, no, we're like on our way even further away. And I don't think that it necessarily changes our heart for those things, but I think that, so the ending is the ending of who we might have been. And now will not be, you know, maybe could have been if we'd stayed here and figured out how to really, you know, reach back in, press back in. So yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. It's kind of a weird one.
I think it absolutely makes sense. I think it's good of you to catch that potential hurt from an ending before you transition. I know it wasn't until not even this last election cycle, even the election cycle before that, where people started to talk to me and say, you just don't understand what it's like here. And even if you maybe could understand, just the fact that you will be geographically removed means that there's a perceived insignificance or not understanding in your ability to try to relate to some of the issues that are taking place in the US. And it's not necessarily true. In fact, sometimes an outsider looking back with both an insider's and now an outsider's perspective can speak more into a situation than someone that's never seen the outside view. But it's the perception of your ability to speak into those situations that will change.
Yeah.
Did anything surprise you on each other's lists?
I mean, I think as you said, the things on your list, they were all really familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I think I hadn't thought about, even though I think you've said this, I don't know, but I hadn't really thought about the reality of the eye doctor thing for you. That's like one of the last things that you establish when you move to a place, is your relationships with your professionals. Because it's like trying to figure out how to
manage all of other life first, and then you do that thing.
Yeah, but so I know it's a big deal for you, but I just hadn't.
But it's
really
usually my
it.
First one is the eye doctor for me. Like the kids' doctors, dentists, like any of those, I'm like, well, they're fine. We'll figure it out. There's always urgent care if it's like if it's in need. But for me, it's like, no, I have to find someone right away and do this thing. So that's when we've moved. That's been, it's usually the thing I take on first. I mean, in some ways, the last one, again, it wasn't surprising to me, but I think describing it in that way, and then even sensing that we've, you know, like we talked about before, sensing the feeling of continuing to be an outsider. There are times where we've, in some ways, have always felt like outsiders in the communities that we've been a part of. But this feels like, yeah, it takes it to a different level of being an outsider with the people that we are, you know, that have spent either all of our adult lives with, or like our family being a part of family stuff. But yeah, even themes and philosophies and issues. Being that much more removed.
I think the role within Vision that we'll all be entering into, as we're transitioning into the role as well, is a really interesting transition. For us, it will be transitioning to be more focused on what's happening in the US instead of primarily focused on German culture. And for you guys, it'll be transitioning to be more focused on German culture while still staying focused on the US. So maybe the Envision role will have a different beginning on this side for you guys than it was necessarily for us. But that's one of those unknown areas right now. I know, Stephen, for you, for a long time, this has been short-term practical as you've gone on different trips, and very theoretical as you've studied it. As you guys are entering into this really with a much more full-time mindset, are there some things that have maybe come up for you as you've gone through that you've thought, wow, these are really some things that I would like to coach people to think about as they're entering into this time of transition?
I just think over and over and over again, we have noticed our endings, and being able to give voice to them has been really good for us. But even like, I think as we've been paying attention, to our kids and trying to give them space, that helping them find language for their endings has been really important. They mentioned recently, the younger two mentioned that one of the things they really don't like is when people say to them, aren't you excited? Like, they don't mind the question, are you excited? But aren't you excited? They feel kind of put in a box. And I think that is asking them to anticipate something new, and then to have a positive emotional response to it. And like, the reality is what they're experiencing is all of this loss. And what we are, I think what this perspective of endings does is it helps us to be present with them in their loss and to say, yeah, let's acknowledge that. Let's be sad about that. And let's not sugarcoat it. And let's say, yeah, no, it is hard to lose access to your friend next door. And it's hard to lose access to being from a place in the way that you've experienced that. And it's like, and I think that perspective of like letting the hard things be hard and the sad things be sad, and then giving other people a space for that as well, is just so important.
I think too, even in that is, yeah, the piece about dreaming, about letting go of future dreams, because I think we recognize that for ourselves, but even recognizing that that's our kids are going through that too in ways that we couldn't anticipate. So it's like, I'm trying to figure out how to navigate letting go of dreams that you had as the person you are today, and recognizing we don't know if they'll be there on the other side.
One of the challenges we faced was that we almost felt guilty at times for feeling bad about things that we were saying goodbye to when we had chosen to go somewhere. And we could say, well, no, it's a calling. God made the choice for us. But there's certainly a lot of pieces where we're making the choice to be obedient to God. Everybody couldn't always handle the challenges of those endings as we brought them up with other people. And so maybe one piece of advice is find other people that have transitioned. And they'll know how to process some of those goodbyes and those endings with you.
Yeah.
This podcast was produced by Envision Berlin in our studios located in Berlin, Germany. If you'd like to send us a note, feel free to send your email to podcast@envisionberlin.com. Thanks for listening.